I'm Melissa Bowman for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thanks for tuning in to today's Waterloo Region Weekly Roundup. I do have a few updates on what's happening around the region, but I want to focus mostly on discussions happening around affordable housing for much of today's show. Both Waterloo and Kitchener have had recent discussions on affordable housing, and Cambridge will be visiting this issue early in 2021. So let's take a look at where things are right now. Like a lot of government work, this started with some studies where the cities looked at information on the housing situations of residents. Some of this work was completed independently in-house by each city, while other work involved Kitchener, Cambridge, and Waterloo working collaboratively and alongside the region. As you may recall, the region is the level of government mandated with affordable housing. Though, as you'll see, many lower-tier municipalities are having conversations about what role they can play to support more quality affordable housing. These studies provided a lot of information about the existing situation in these cities and the region as a whole in relation to housing needs. First off, we see that rents and housing prices are increasing at a much faster rate than income. Kitchener's report says that in the last 10 years, ending in 2019, region-wide, rental prices have increased by 42% and housing prices have increased by 104%, whereas incomes increased on average by just 18%. It also states that the average resale price for a single detached dwelling was $595,000, again, this is for 2019, and the average resale price for a condo was $340,000. In July of 2020, the average single detached resale price was $640,000. Waterloo's report also says that housing costs have increased faster than incomes. From 2008 to 2019, the percentage change in inflation was 20%, whereas the average rental costs were 53% higher and housing prices increased by 81% in that same time period. So let's look at what we mean by affordable housing, which can be tricky as there tends to be a couple of different ways to calculate affordability. The first way, which tends to be used most often, is housing is considered affordable if it represents less than 30% of the household's pre-tax income. However, affordability is sometimes referred to as 10% less than the average market rent or price. Staff at the Waterloo Council meeting explain.
So affordable housing is defined in the provincial policy statement and in our official plan as housing that costs no more than 30% of a household's annual household gross income. That means that 70% or more of their income is being spent on other things that they need to survive, and no more than 30% is spent on housing. Affordable housing can also mean 10% less than the average market rent or price of a housing unit. Whichever one of those two is less is what we mean when we say affordable housing.
I will use the 30% of pre-tax income for my definition, unless noted otherwise. Also, as mentioned on Kitchener's webpage, affordable housing is not just about cost. It is also important to consider other factors like the condition of a home and whether it comfortably accommodates the number of people living there. Regionally, just under a quarter of households pay more than 30% of their income on housing, with 42% of renters paying over 30% and 15% of homeowners doing so. These numbers have led some to say that we are in an affordable housing crisis and local municipalities are seeking ways to address it. Both Kitchener and Waterloo have recently approved inclusionary zoning motions, and Kitchener has also just passed its housing strategy. Cambridge Council has housing on its agenda in early 2021. Still, many councillors note that while there is a role for cities to play, affordable housing remains the mandate of the region, as Kitchener's Ward 6 councillor Paul Singh mentions here.
It's tough to be all things for all people, but this at least helps to pinpoint some consideration and focus on affordable housing and ensuring that, you know, there's more that we can do at our planning perspective, because at the end of the day, the City of Kitchener is not an affordable housing provider. That's the region's responsibility, and they collect taxes and receive funding from the province, and that's where their mandate is.
Ward Ward 9's counselor, Debbie Chapman, agrees the region is instrumental in this work and is also thrilled that the city is identifying ways that they can address housing challenges.
So the basic underlying principle of Housing First is that people are better able to move forward in their lives if they are first housed. It's a rights-based intervention rooted in the philosophy that all people have a right to housing. So as we know, the region, as has been mentioned, is the local supportive housing provider. The fact that the city of Kitchener would even consider collaborating with the region to address the affordable housing crisis is honorable. And I'm proud to be part of this council with their willingness to work with the region.
On December 14th, Kitchener Council approved their Housing for All strategy, which will guide the city's actions and investments to address housing challenges from now until 2025. This work will be done in partnership with other levels of government, including the region, as well as other local municipalities and nonprofit organizations. According to the city's website, Kitchener's affordable housing strategy is intended to address the full housing continuum, from homelessness, shelters, transitional housing, supportive housing, social housing, cooperatives, co-housing, rental housing, affordable home ownership, and market ownership housing to meet the diverse needs of Kitchener residents through all stages of their lives. Kitchener's housing needs assessment identified the need for 450 units of supportive housing, 5,000 units of community housing, and 9,300 units of affordable rental housing to fill gaps in the existing supply. Filling these needs is a main priority of this housing strategy. Similarly, Waterloo's recent staff report on housing noted that more work was needed to support low-income households, specifically by adding more market and non-market rental housing. Kitchener's Ward 9 Councillor, Debbie Chapman, explains why she thinks affordable rentals should be a key priority in this work.
But I want to look for a moment at rental units in this city. And if we look at those, we will see that market rent for a one-bedroom room apartment is over $1,000. That there are not enough rent geared to income units available, and we know that, and the region knows that. That those who would like to move out of subsidized housing and into market rate housing can't afford the jump in rent because they're going from subsidy to a $1,000 one-bedroom apartment. And the biggest housing deficit, it is at that place on the continuum or the circle where people no longer qualify for subsidies. So it's due to these factors that I believe we have a responsibility to first address the deficit of rental housing for those on the waiting list and those transitioning out of supportive housing.
Of course, in order to move forward on these things, we must first understand what the current situation is for housing in the region. In an attempt to better represent the data and how that data translates into identifying priorities for housing, Kitchener staff, in partnership with the working group, created a housing wheel. This circle has 8 center sections that include a range of shelter and housing situations, from homelessness and emergency shelter, to supportive and community housing, to affordable rental and home ownership, and then market rental and home ownership options. Outside of those sections is a ring that provides a rough estimate of what a household in each of those housing options earns annually. For example, the section for affordable rental housing is estimated to require a household income of between $50,000 and $63,000, whereas market rentals are estimated to require a household income of at least $80,000 per year. The outer ring outlines priorities for each of these types of housing, including 9,000 more affordable rental units and 450 supportive housing units, and this is just for Kitchener alone. Kitchener staff further explain this wheelhouse.
The idea of the housing wheel was that no matter what income level a person was, they can end up in any one of these housing categories at any point of their life, and not necessarily in any sequential order. The housing wheel is a new way of looking at the housing continuum with a Kitchener-specific focus. As you can see, there are Kitchener examples of each type of housing that is currently serving the needs of people in our community. Around the outer ring, you can see housing income deciles, which approximately lines up with the type of housing around the housing wheel. The red around the wheel lines up with where the market is not providing ample or sufficient housing to match the needs of the community. and you can see that red line makes it all the way up to the middle of market rental housing. The small green area to the left of the wheel is relatively small, but it shows where the market is currently meeting the needs of the community. Even further, around the perimeter of the wheel, the targets the city has set based on our needs assessment. So you can see at the top there, under homelessness and emergency shelter, we see that shelter care and people-centered services are what we're targeting to serve this area of the housing continuum.
As I mentioned, there was a team of volunteers and stakeholders, as well as staff, developing the strategy. Karen Coviello, a co-chair of Kitchener's Affordable Housing Strategy and Habitat for Humanity WR's CEO, said that providing permanent, safe, and supportive housing options has been the ultimate goal of our advisory committee. Together, the committee represents a wide range of diverse views, experiences, and perspectives that have all come together to create a blueprint for how we can address the housing challenges and inequalities in our community, which will allow us to make Kitchener more affordable, inclusive, and the caring community we know we are. Ms. Coviello explains the makeup of this committee and the work they have been doing.
Our working group was a very diverse group. We had members of the public, we had people with lived experience, renters, owners, advocates, developers, builders, landlords, academics, healthcare folks, students, non-for-profit representatives, service providers, members of council, city staff, and regional staff. It was one of the most fulsome projects I've ever been part of. What united this group was our shared interest and passion for housing, and particularly to find a solution for the pressing needs in the affordable housing sector in this community. Our advisory committee focused on actions that addressed inequalities in this community, and the result is Housing for All, which is a comprehensive, action-oriented, and focused policy program that will allow the City of Kitchener to begin to address these housing needs in this community.
The strategy outlines 7 priorities, including a human rights-based approach to housing, helping to end homelessness, and creating a working group of community members with lived experience of homelessness and housing challenges to advise staff in implementing the strategy. At Kitchener's December meeting, Martin Asling, founder of Waterloo Region Yes in My Backyard, or WR YIMBY, and also a member of the Housing Strategy Committee, spoke in response to the housing strategy. He's supportive of the work that has been done to date, but said that what really matters is that these recommendations turn into concrete action by the city.
The statements that I've seen on the housing crisis from city staff and council have been of acknowledgement and concern. However, I think we can probably all agree the true test to city council and, you know, the city of Kitchener, as far as our citizens are concerned, is how well we can follow up on these concerns with action. So while it's very promising to see that housing declared a human right, for example, in this report, and also that we are committed to an anti-racist and anti-discriminatory housing strategy, the actual work following the report will be to ensure that it leads to concrete actions and that it doesn't just remain words in a report.
Another delegation, Reagan Sunshine Brousset, who is also on the Housing Strategy Committee, is supportive of much of the report. However, as someone who also sat on the Affordability Subcommittee, she's worried that the issue of true affordability is getting lost as Kitchener tries to address the entire housing continuum.
Myself and 5 other individuals sat on the Affordability Subcommittee. We spent 8 months putting together what we best viewed as what the definition and statement would be for affordability to be reviewed by council. We were informed at our last meeting, as well as told overall within our subcommittee group, that this item and this document would be put forth to council as an appendix to the document before you today. Unfortunately, my understanding is it's not there. So I'm wondering, what happened to affordability? We started this committee having it named as the Affordable Housing Strategy Advisory Committee. My understanding is that it's now just the Housing Advisory Committee. I'd hate to see this become something that we lose the main sight of.
Similar conversations about affordability happened at Waterloo Council's December meeting as well. Ward 2 Councillor Royce Bodily, upon reading the report's details that state that only the top 2 deciles for household income for Waterloo residents can afford to purchase an average home in Waterloo, and calls the system broken.
you know, the thing that was really eye-opening to me is that you, in the city of Waterloo, you need to be in the top two deciles of household income in order to be able to afford the average house price. That is crazy to me. And, you know, just setting aside the housing as a human right argument, which I'm all here for, that really just indicates to me that the market is broken. And so, yeah, I really just want to encourage staff to consider bold actions to incentivize affordable housing, but also appropriate measures to require developers to help achieve the goals that we have for the city.
Ward 6 Councillor Jeff Henry agrees, saying that the report was both alarming and unsurprising.
You're sharing with us a report that is as alarming as it is unsurprising. I think we've seen and speculated for several years that you know, that the housing market and the land values have become detached from incomes, and the financialization of the housing sector, to Councillor Bodley's comments, shows that it is not a market that works for people. It is clearly slanted in a different direction. And the tools in our tool, they're not going to solve the underlying issues, but they're the things we can do, and they're the things we must do.
Councillor Tennille Bonagor says that her family was lucky to be able to buy a home when and where they did, but it's problematic if the market is built upon luck.
My family, we managed to buy a house uptown, but that's because we had good timing. We didn't know it at the time. But we snuck in. We were lucky. But, you know, having a home, whether you own it or you rent it, it shouldn't come down to luck. I mean, I don't want to live in a city where the lucky and the rich have the privilege of walking to their local coffee shop, but the barista cannot walk to work. And that's just not fair. And I think it's detrimental to us all.
As local councils considered the specific actions they could undertake then, both Waterloo and Kitchener approved motions to progress with inclusionary zoning. Inclusionary zoning requires developers to make a percentage of their new builds affordable. So, for example, a city using inclusionary zoning could say that all new builds of at least 10 units or more must have at least 10% of those units designated as affordable. As you can see, this is one area that having a clear and consistent definition of what affordable means is helpful. Here's how Kitchener staff described inclusionary zoning at a recent committee meeting.
It's a new tool, a relatively new tool under the Planning Act that would require, as part of any market rate housing development, to include some affordable units. Inclusionary zoning doesn't exist in Ontario yet, but a lot of municipalities are working towards it. In areas where it does work, typically in American jurisdictions, inclusionary zoning typically addresses the needs of folks with moderate income. So folks that make too much to qualify for community housing but don't make enough to afford market rent.
One potential benefit of inclusionary zoning is that it may be able to help a city secure affordable housing that is not otherwise being provided by the market. A concern with inclusionary zoning is that any one development must remain viable for the developer if they are to proceed. Offering affordable rents or sale prices, even in a small percentage of any new build, results in lowered expected revenue from that project. Because of that, the province requires that inclusionary zoning programs ensure market viability for private market housing providers. Areas that may impact a development's viability with inclusionary zoning include the percentage of units that are required to be affordable. This is called the set-aside rate. The duration of affordability, meaning will it remain affordable for 10 or 25 years or perhaps even in perpetuity, and whether it is a rental or owned unit. The most often used phrase during these discussions on inclusionary zoning was that this is just one tool in the toolbox. Staff explained that further.
Inclusionary zoning is only one tool in the toolbox for affordable housing. So we need to address a broad spectrum of affordability in order to make headway on the affordable housing challenges that we have right now. There are opportunities as we further progress down this to look at incentives, to look at more deep affordability, but there are pros and cons to any tool that we use in our toolbox.
One delegation that spoke to Kitchener Council on the issue of inclusionary zoning was Alexandra Petrovic, who encourages the city to ensure diverse voices and those with lived experiences of housing need be included in shaping these policies.
How do we shift and look more intensively and purposefully into experience of people who live in Kitchener? There needs to be some shift in focus. We need to have broader conversations with, you know, diverse and different points of view.
One of the concerns that arose from these discussions was the provincial regulations that limit inclusionary zoning to major transit areas. So in Kitchener and Waterloo, for example, that means inclusionary zoning policies can be implemented for development mostly along the core and the light rail transit route. Kitchener's Ward 10 Councillor Sarah Marsh is disappointed by those limits, as she sees value in these policies being implemented on a much wider scale throughout the region, ideally.
I also would have liked to see inclusionary zoning be something that that we could really implement, whether it's in not just in major transit station areas, but throughout the city, throughout the region. And I would have really liked to see us dig a little deeper in, as well, and see how we can use this to make housing more affordable in our whole community. And the community is waiting. They're all waiting for us to make a move.
A motion was put forth by Kitchener's Ward 7 Councillor Bill Ioannidis to urge the province to expand these regulations to allow cities to use inclusionary zoning more broadly, and that motion passed. Kitchener's Mayor Barry Verbanovich brings us back to that analogy of the toolbox, though, reiterating that this is one tool the city can implement along with many other actions.
There's a sweet spot here, and that sweet spot, you know, yes, needs to ensure that in our full range of tools, we're meeting the needs of all of our citizens from the perspective of housing being a human right. But looking at each tool and figuring out, okay, what is that sweet spot for each of these tools so we can maximize the appropriate benefit going forward.
So that leaves both Waterloo and Kitchener moving forward with inclusionary zoning policies. Kitchener also has approved its Housing for All strategy. Waterloo has identified several next steps, including also creating a housing strategy. And we should hear from Cambridge in the new year about their plans to address housing challenges as well. There were a few other meetings that happened recently that I did want to provide a quick update on. The Region of Waterloo hosted a public input session on the 2021 budget. A number of delegations spoke on a variety of issues, including free transit times for seniors to create a more age-friendly region, the need for continued investment in the arts and culture sector, such as museums, the symphony, and the Waterloo Region Arts Fund. Several delegations spoke in support of Reallocate WR, encouraging council to shift some funding from the police budget to more upstream services. One delegation speaking on this issue, Judah Udshorn, calls on council to reallocate 15% of the police budget and invest that in Black-led and Indigenous-led services.
I do not want us to spend $200 million or 32% of property taxes on policing, an institution that systematically targets, harms, and oppresses Black, Indigenous, and racialized folks.
Another delegation, Samantha Estoesta, says that the region is at an accountability point to prove their anti-racism solidarity statement made in June. To be the equitable anti-racist region that was promised in the statement, we need to prioritize our upstream services. She goes on to speak to Council's recent decision to close its 5 childcare centres, a move that she believes is the opposite of what is needed.
And regarding youth and family services, every child deserves affordable, quality, accessible childcare. Affordable and accessible childcare leads to the economic lift that brings cost mobility for lower income, often racialized families and families with children with accessibility needs. Childcare is a vital part of upstream services, and they literally pull families out of poverty, increase their health, and decrease social isolation for those with accessibility needs, and lower crime rates in their communities.
Reallocate WR has a detailed thread of all of the delegations if you're interested in reading more. You can find them on Twitter at ReallocateW. Also at the regional level, the Anti-Racism Advisory Working Group had their first meeting on December 14th. The regional website says that during this introductory meeting, members spent the time building rapport, a necessary foundation for the collaborative work that they will be doing together. The group is excited and looking forward to their shared work together. Cambridge recently released their State of the City Year in Review video. So, if for some reason you'd like to briefly relive 2020, you can check out the video at cambridge.ca/year-in-review. Of course, it's actually a good reminder that even in a tough year for many, there was still a lot of positive things happening in our community. And lastly, have you noticed more cannabis stores popping up recently, especially in the downtown core? Others have noticed this, and Ward 10 Kitchener Councillor Sarah Marsh brought the issue up at December's council meeting. Marsh said that the province should consider over-concentration as an evaluation criteria and require a 500-meter distance separating pot stores. She put forth a motion that urges the provincial government to implement those limitations, and that passed, meaning a letter from Kitchener Council will be sent to the province on this issue. Now that not only brings us to the end of the show, but also to the end of 2020, a year that was a real challenge for many of us. I hope you're able to find some time to rest and perhaps connect with others, virtually of course, and I'm wishing you the best for 2021. Thanks for listening, and as always, we can continue this conversation online, and you can find me at M2Bowman on Twitter. Also, follow at Radio Waterloo on Twitter for CKMS programming updates and information. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom.